protesting in London.
Rain on a tin roof sounds like a drum. We're marching for freedom today. Yay! Turn on your headlights and sound your horn. If people get in the way.
Symbol or substance, the ritual of protest meets the ritual gathering of world leaders called the G20 Summit. While behind closed doors, money talks, people from around the world walk an anti-globalization walk. Tiptoeing around the barricades during a global economic crisis on The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI.
Good morning. It's Wednesday, April the 1st. I'm Femi Okeh.
I know her.
Good morning, John.
Morning, fam.
Adora Udoji is away spending time with her new baby. Coming up this hour, we'll discuss President Obama's meetings today with world leaders ahead of the G20 summit. We will also take a look at the state of Pakistan's government following the reinstatement of the Chief Justice. And we'll hear about the possibility of members of Congress being required to do calisthenics. These stories coming up, but first, the headlines.
President Obama is in London today for his first full day of meetings ahead of the G20 summit. His first was with UK Prime Minister Gordon Brown, who's calling for stronger financial regulation.
We have both agreed there will be no sustainable recovery until the banks are cleaned up and a new regulatory system is put in place.
President Obama has expressed his wish for stronger regulatory rules as well. Later on today, the president will meet with Queen Elizabeth, followed by Russian President Dmitry Medvedev and Chinese President Hu Jintao. Meanwhile, British police are increasing their security across London. That's as thousands of activists gather to protest a number of issues linked to the G20 summit. Many protesters have dubbed the kickoff of the summit Financial Fool's Day. Femi?
Adhesive manufacturer 3M announced today that it's cutting 1,200 jobs, or 1.5%. of its workforce. Meanwhile, Japanese automaker Honda is planning to scale back its North American production. It's also reducing pay for its salaried employees and forcing hourly workers to take unpaid leave. In the Minnesota Senate race, lawyers for Republican Norm Coleman say an appeal is on the way. The three judges hearing his lawsuit ruled yesterday for a further review of 400 unopened absentee ballots, and that's far fewer than the former Republican senator had asked to be counted. Right now, Democrat Al Franken has a 225-vote lead. And a suspected U.S. drone fired today on the alleged hideout of a Taliban leader. He threatened yesterday to attack the White House, according to senior intelligence officials, and 12 people were killed in the attack, including several of the Taliban leader's associates.
Next door, in Afghanistan, the militants attacked a local government office there, killing at least 6 people this morning. And the Dow and the S&P both went up more than 1% yesterday. The Dow kicks off today at 7609. The S&P starts trading at 798. So you're not in London. You're sitting at home listening to us. But if you were in London, what would you put on your protest sign if you were marching in one of the parades? They're bearing signs like capitalists, you are the crisis. But we want to hear your slogan, your placard slogan for protest of the G20 summit. 8778 my take, or my take at thetakeaway.org. Maybe it's attaboy.
The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. Responsibilityproject.com.
The Takeaway is supported by the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information about the Foundation's digital initiatives at knightfoundation.org. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and by the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation to enhance public understanding of science and technology in the modern world.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning, everyone. I'm John Hockenberry here with our own Femi Okeh, filling in for Adora Udoji.
Good morning,
Femi. All eyes on London this morning, where Barack Obama and British Prime Minister Gordon Brown just concluded a news conference, one of many events taking place today. And a few moments ago, Gordon Brown, the British Prime Minister, had this to say.
Today, we, the G20 leaders, will begin our discussions. Tomorrow, we must make decisions. And that is what we will do.
But today and tomorrow, protesters from around the world are gathered in London to attempt to deliver a message to the G20 leaders, summit leaders of global capitalism attempting to address the financial crisis are going to be seen by protesters throughout the city of London. We want you to deliver a message to the G20 leaders, 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. Join the protest. Maybe your message is one of positive encouragement for them, or maybe it's more critical. Certainly the messages in London are very, very critical. And joining us to talk about the sort of feel on the streets of London, where an unprecedented level of protest is expected today, is the BBC presenter for the Today program and correspondent Jack Izzard. He joins us from the streets of London. Jack, thanks for being with us.
Hey, good morning, John. It's a pleasure.
Now, I've heard a number of things. They're calling, for all kinds of changes to be made, including the end of global capitalism. It's a classic anti-globalization protest on some level, but there's also some theatricality here. And describe this group called the G20 Meltdown. What are they planning to do today?
Well, they are a pretty colourful bunch, as you say. They're one of three large coalitions who plan to demonstrate here in the City of London today. Now, of course, the City of London, for those of you who don't know, it's a bit like England's Wall Street. This is the financial heart of the British capital. I'm actually standing outside St Paul's Cathedral, an iconic building in London. Of course, it was here that Princess Diana and Prince Charles got married back in the 80s. But it's the banks, the financial institutions that are based around about these streets that are going to be very much the focus of the those protesters' attentions today. Now, as you say, G20 Meltdown, they are a large and fairly wide-ranging coalition of anti-war, anti-capitalist and anarchist protesters. Now, they're coming from four separate train stations around the City of London. They are going to march in four separate processions through the streets, staging what they call Financial Fool's Day. Now, what are they going to do? Well, each one of these processions is going to have a big street puppet at the front. It's going to be in the shape of a horse. They are calling these four horses the four horse folk of the apocalypse. So lots of colourful imagery. Now, they are saying that despite the large numbers of people they're expecting, the protest is going to be very peaceful. They want to attract people who've not necessarily demonstrated before, but their message is they think capitalism is not in crisis. They say capitalism is the crisis. These are anti-capitalists and anarchists. They are here. They're going to protest outside the Bank of England, which is a bit like our Federal Reserve. They're hoping to get their voices heard here across the UK and across the world.
Jack, any sense of the numbers of people expecting in the streets? And we have reports that certainly people in the financial sector there in the City of London, bankers and financial workers, have been told to keep a low profile today, expecting possible violence. What's the expectation from what you're hearing?
Well, very hard to gauge these things. Of course, the local print media have been full of fairly excitable stories about the city being on lockdown and the police fearing the worst. Certainly the police here in London taking no chances. They've got very large numbers of police officers due to be deployed over the next 2 days. Of course, the summit itself, the G20 summit, when all those world leaders will sit down around the table, is tomorrow. There's going to be a big security cordon around that. But today, of course, lots of police officers being deployed to try and keep the protesters away from those finance institutions. So the police here mounting a huge operation. They reckon the cost is going to run into the region of about $10 million.
Wow.
So that gives you a sense of the commitment by the police. As for the numbers of protesters, well, hard to gauge, but of course it's a rare sunny day here in London today. That always favours the protesters. More people like to show up. They may well stick around for longer. Now, as I said, most of the groups due to be here today say they want to protest peacefully. It's going to be entirely good-natured, but the worry, the police have told me, is they feel there may be more extreme groups who try and hijack those peaceful protests. It may be they're bent
right
on violence, and they may attack some of those banks and finance institutions.
Well, Jack, it's just getting started, and I'm wondering if there's any sense to know if this is going to feel at the end of the day and maybe at the end of tomorrow like a real groundswell reaction on the part of protesters from around the world to these world leaders, or if it's going to be just as symbolic and kind of ritualistic as the G20 summit itself, where there is often a lot of talk, but very, very little in terms of substance.
Well, good point. I mean, as you say, there is a school of thought which says these big international summits tend to be all about show rather than decision-making, and the protests that normally go with them are often put in the same sort of category. Yes, whenever there's a gathering of world leaders like this, there are always groups who come out, they stage noisy protests, occasionally they spill into violence, but there is, as you say, an element of ritual. Whether or not they'll achieve anything, hard to say. Certainly the protesters I've spoken to say, look, there is such feeling of discontent here in Britain, because of course our recession here is really bad. There are people really feeling the pinch of the credit crunch here. The housing market is struggling in the same way that it is in the US. There are lots of people deeply concerned about their job, and they blame the bankers, they blame the financial institutions. So there is a feeling of ill will, and I think we may well see some of that ill will taken out on the city, the financial heart of London today. Whether or not it achieves anything, well, I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Well, certainly at the very least, a letting off of steam is likely to be very visually apparent there in London. The BBC's Jack Izzard on the streets of London today. He's a presenter for the BBC Today program. He's following the protests there in London. Femi?
Thanks, John. Tomorrow is the G20 meeting. Today, President Barack Obama and the Chinese President Hu Jintao meet for the very first time. Now, joining us on the line, Bill Emmert. He's the former editor of The Economist and also the author of Rivals, How the Power Struggle Between China, India and Japan Will Shape Our Next Decade. Hi there, Bill. How do you think the U.S. should respond to China's increasingly aggressive stance?
Well, I think that China is being aggressive because it feels a bit confident. Its economy is in trouble, but it's in less trouble than the U.S. or many of the European economies. Also, it feels that America's weak, that, okay, it's got a new president, but it's in a weak and vulnerable position. So China's got a chance to take some opportunities here. But it's not so strong that it wants to actually take over leadership. So I think the U.S. can respond respectfully, say it's willing to discuss China's requests, its proposals, its initiatives, but still stand firm and still be confident.
What do you think might possibly come out of today's meeting?
I think that out of today's meeting will, I hope, be a sort of a declaration of harmony, first. Secondly, a promise not to be protectionist against each other, not to restrict world trade, which is already collapsing. We don't need any barriers, particularly against Chinese exports or vice versa. And thirdly, I think an agreement to stay in close touch about economic stimulus programs later in the year, which is going to be the crucial time. We'll see then whether the great big U.S. stimulus package is actually working. We'll also see what's happening in China and whether there's a need for another stimulus there. What we most want is agreement between the U.S. and China about how the stimulus should happen and when. And the crucial time for that is going to be later in this year, when we really see how bad this recession is proving to be.
Well, Bill, certainly all the other world leaders are going to be watching this meeting because they're as interested in the outcome as anyone else in the world. It seems to me it's very, very clear that the U.S. needs China to lend money and to finance the various sort of stimulus programs that Barack Obama wants to finance here in Washington. But it's also the case that China wants U.S. exports or U.S. consumer demand to buy its exports. But China also has another demand, which the U.S. maybe isn't interested in, and that is getting perhaps away from the dollar as a reserve currency, suggesting this global currency idea that was floated a few days ago. What's the chance that that will come up either privately or publicly?
I think that that's unlikely to come up privately because, well, if I may put it this way, it's got about a snowball's chance in hell of actually happening. And so I don't think it's going to come up privately. It may be mentioned publicly by the Chinese because they are using this proposal to divert attention from issues like China's currency manipulation, its own huge trade surplus, and the fact that its currency is fixed and not able to float convertibly on world markets. And China wants to divert attention from that and point all the blame at the U.S. and at the dollar. So publicly they may waive this proposal, But privately, it has no hope of getting anywhere, so I don't think they're going to waste time on it.
Bill, thank you very much for joining us. Bill Emmett is the former editor of The Economist. Thanks very much. And of course, this morning we are asking you to give us your placard suggestions to put on the placards out at the G20 protests. Call us 1-877-8-MY-TAKE.
And Barack Obama will also be meeting with Dmitry Medvedev, in addition to Gordon Brown, which was just earlier this morning.
And Queen Elizabeth
II. Yes, indeed.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
869-8253.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.